This is the Uncover You podcast, and I'm Eva Berunius. I'm here to help you navigate your transformational journey so you can experience the you underneath the conditioning and unconscious beliefs. You always find the show notes over at selfmasteryandbeyond.com. Let's get to the core of things. Here's today's episode. Oh, do I have a good episode for you this week? I'm so thrilled that my good friend Paul Bradley Grant said yes to coming on the podcast and have a conversation with me. We talk about everything from what's needed for healing, how to hold space for yourself, into like Toltec art of dreaming and memories from some of our first journeys to Teotihuacan together. Because Paul was there on my first journey to Mexico when I first went on a spiritual power journey. So we both go down memory lane and share with you what we've learned and experienced on our own journeys. I know it's on the long side, but I think you'll find it worth it. And maybe let this episode keep you company over a few days. Chop it into a few different listens. I think you will enjoy having the company of this beautiful conversation. And what might be even more exciting for me is to introduce Paul as a co-teacher in this upcoming round of Beyond the Mind. Beyond the Mind is my 10-week program that I put together to really show you what I did and how you can move your attention in a way so that you can pick up on the more subtle layers of your being, meaning experience yourself as consciousness, experience yourself beyond the mind, as something more than your mind. And why would you want to do this, you might ask? Well, one, you might have a deep longing to experience yourself as more than your mind. Maybe you've done meditation, maybe you've ventured into spiritual practices and like really long for this. Your heart, your soul is calling for it. But you might not have been able to go there. You might have been sitting doing meditation from your mind. And this is how I show you how I got my mind on board on going beyond it and how you can fine-tune certain pieces of your perception so you can start picking up on something beyond the mind. And people that have gone through this have gotten amazing results with it. People that have meditated for 10, 15 years, decades, have finally said that they had the experience of like, ha, there I am. There's something else. I realize now that I was doing meditation from my mind. I was looking with my mind. So that might be one of your reasons doing Beyond the Mind. Another one is you might have done alchemy with me or have done self-awareness, healing work with yourself. And on that journey, you'll probably discover just how important it is to be able to unidentify with aspects of yourself that's been kind of holding this whole structure of wounding or protection in place. So maybe you've done my 5-week program, Alchemy, and you're like, huh, I really see that the unidentifying is the skill that I want to practice more. In that case, Beyond the Mind is so there to support you on that because we dive deep into just like that aspect of it. What are you beyond these other aspects of yourself that you've been identified with? The ones protecting, the ones reacting, the ones feeling a lot of pain or whatever it is. So there have been so many new people moving through alchemy in this past 6 months, and I'm so like thrilled about that. And that's why I wanted to take this opportunity to open a new round of Beyond the Mind. And it will start around May 11th. Like the date is not completely set yet, but around that time. And Paul, which you will hear in this episode, will be in there teaching you, having live calls, moving you through the practices. And I'm in there with you teaching the course, meaning all the recordings are with me in there. You'll get hours also of recordings of live sessions with me. And then you can come in and ask Paul questions. And Paul has had an amazing journey, which you will hear in this episode. He has ventured into everything from like deeply into Buddhist teachings, as well as philosophy and a lot of other spiritual teachings, and walked alongside me on the kind of Toltec path. And also, as you will hear, is very much on a similar page as me of, you don't use that state of consciousness to escape, to escape the human experience. No, you use it to turn towards so that you can give room for healing, so that you can feel things. And I'm so thrilled to have Paul's like perspective and guidance and wisdom combine with my teachings in Beyond the Mind. Like basically, you'll get more. So if you already have Beyond the Mind, this is included, right? Like you can just jump in there, log in to the to your program on the Embodied Community, and in just a few days you will find the new live sessions posted. If you don't yet have Beyond the Mind, okay, I got a treat for you. Since you're listening to the podcast, you know that once in a while I want to treat you listeners with something, because I know there are so many of you who are listening for months, for years. And some of you have taken my programs. I love you. Some of you haven't. I love you too. But I know that you're out there, and I know that you're sometimes reaching out to me and telling me how much you're getting out of these episodes. So as a gift for you, I want to do a giveaway. 2 free spots in Beyond the Mind to people that are listening to the podcast. How you enter is, you get on the wait list for Beyond the Mind. I'll leave the link here, but it's selfmasteryandbeyond.com/beyondthemind. And there's a form there so you can get on the wait list. The second thing, there's another link somewhere here where you found this episode, where you click and just share with me your email address and a few sentences about how this podcast or how my work has impacted you on your inner journey. So that's how you enter for the giveaway. And even if you don't get one of the 2 free spots, I want to still gift you. So there'll be a discount for Beyond the Mind. So get on that wait list so that you know that you've entered the giveaway or have the chance on the discounted spots. The giveaway will close on last of April, so that we announce the winner on May 1st. And that's also when we open the discounts for only 5 days. So get on that wait list to make sure you're not missing any updates and announcements around this. Okay, enough around that. Reach out if you got questions. And now let's dive into this beautiful conversation with Paul Bradley Grant. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Ava.
I'm just sitting here tuning in and getting actually really, like, I feel really moved. Like we just said, like, I've also been feeling really excited about having this conversation with you. But now as I just dropped in, I'm like, whew. Mm. I feel really moved about the fact that, like, where we met first was, you know, almost 10 years ago in Teotihuacan, Mexico. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that just came over me very strongly, that that's, there's something special happening there, right? And there's like a special bond with people that you meet there and do the journey with. And sitting here with you almost, yeah, I guess it's 9 years later, it's like, it feels very special. So mm-hmm. I guess I just want to say hi, and I'm really grateful that you're here and wanting to have this conversation with me.
Yeah, thank you. I love you. And, you know, what comes to me is, we definitely need friends on this journey, you know? It's not like an individualistic thing completely. You do go it alone, but you also need people walking beside you.
Yeah.
And yeah, you've been a good friend to me since we met almost, I think almost 10 years ago in Mexico. So yeah, thank you for that.
Mm. Any memories for you from that first journey? Like how,
wow.
Like where were you at then when you came to that journey and yeah, any memories from it?
Yeah, I love how you always like go back to where it started out. And I remember the last time I did one of these podcasts with you, you asked me about what it was like in the beginning. And I said something like, man, it's hard for me to remember.
we did that episode right from Teotihuacan, right?
Yeah.
We had that in Teotihuacan. Yeah. A couple years ago.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I was a completely different person when we started back at that first one in 2015. Mm-hmm. And I was still in college at that point and doing philosophy. And so I was using my intellect a lot and, you know, reading all these books and also getting a lot into spirituality as well. And, you know, I started reading and absorbing from Eckhart Tolle when I was 19, which is a few years before that. Mm. And so this awakening had started to happen. But I didn't have like a real tangible kind of powerful experience to anchor into. I didn't have a teacher that was physically present with me, to really open things up. And so I did a meditation retreat a couple years in that gave me some of that for sure, more of an experience, not just an intellectual understanding. But then when I went to Teo the first time we were there together, that was when it really opened up a lot in a different way than even on the meditation retreat. And I realized, oh, I can do this. You know, I can do this. This journey, it's, you know, I had a part of me that was feeling like, I don't know, I mean, this seems like a tall order, this spiritual journey thing. And these enlightened guys, they seem so aware and present and like, I could never be that, you know, who could be that? And, but then I got there and it's like, oh, it's just one step at a time, you know? And okay, I can do this step. I can take these first steps and, oh, I see where this is going and it's going to grow and expand and my consciousness is going to keep growing and expanding. And that has turned out to be true. Luckily enough.
You were on point with that observation.
Yeah. There's a little whisper in the beginning and, you know, we got to listen to those little whispers.
Yeah.
Because they're almost like nothing, but they just open up into whole new worlds. You know, your mind literally can't even imagine what it's going to turn into. And that's an amazing thing.
Yeah. And I love that you say that. Yeah, we need to listen because often these other voices that are screaming out of, you know, fear, desperation, or need your attention, they're very loud. But a voice like that or something that's coming more from your soul or heart or intuition or whatever it is, it's like it can be more subtle. It doesn't need you to believe in it or to, it's just there.
That's it. I mean, and that just the way that you're saying it really speaks to my heart. And I think, you know, that genuine impulse to go somewhere deeper, like there's something else in life that's available for us beyond what we know.
Yeah.
I think we start to get onto that by listening a little bit deeper. And there's something inside of us that's like, there's more than this, you know? And yeah, and we start to give a little bit of attention to that and not so much to the noises on the surface. It's just a little bit deeper down. There's something else. Yeah, and that's where we start.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so great. It's so great that I'm so grateful that I get to walk beside you or alongside you, or, you know, just have these glimpses of your journey. Because I, like, now that we're talking about Teotihuacan, that in 2015, like, some memories are coming up as you're talking about where you were as well. So one specific memory that's coming up, this is more a little like on the funny side. I remember that you had a thing. I don't know if you remember this at all, but it felt very like you would look into someone's eyes, into mine eyes or anyone's eyes for a very long time. Like you were like very consciously like either making a connection or like, here I am, like presence. And I remember how uncomfortable I was with it. I was like, this guy, what is he up to? Like, and like, how do I tell him? Or how, like, I'm not sure. Should I be looking back into his eyes?
Wow. You hadn't told me this before.
No, yeah. I don't think I have.
Yeah.
And it wasn't uncomfortable in a way of like, I don't like this. Why is he doing this? It was more of a like, I'm not sure about this. Like, this is, yeah. Mm-hmm. What's happening here?
Well, you know what that brings up for me is something I've learned about myself and my individual makeup. Is I'm just so drawn to intimacy with other people. And it doesn't have to be sexual necessarily. It's not that. It's more just about, I want to be present with you.
Yeah.
I want to feel your presence. Mm-hmm. And I just want to meet you here and feel your heart and share this with you. And just kind of, it's almost like, I want to share this moment with you.
Yeah.
And just really be here together. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that really comes from my heart. And it's been such a journey for me to like learn that that's not how the world is, not, you know, what the world values, and that, you know, like that kind of thing that you're talking about, looking into someone's eyes for a prolonged period of time, scary to a lot of people, makes them uncomfortable, something we don't do. It's not even on most people's radar, you know. And that's been really disappointing. You know, it's like, you know.
But yeah, been, we're all the people that I can do this with. Yeah.
Absolutely. It's like, my heart goes out to you. I just want to connect with you. You know, I just want you to share in this beautiful gift of life with me.
Yeah.
Like, but people get really scared there.
Yeah.
You know, and I get scared there too. You know, I mean, intimacy, because you start to feel each other's vulnerabilities. And you can't hide from each other in that space. And that's probably why we get so scared.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I was in a very different place, right? Mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind looking into your eyes at this point. But there's also a piece of it where I think, where I sense you has grown and expanded and evolved so much, just as I have and everyone has, right, from that time. Mm-hmm. Like, I think, you know, when it also gets blended with all our unmet needs and our childhood wounds. I don't know, for me, like that spiritual journey and, oh my God, yes, finally, like I can have the connection with people, but there might still be like, you know, a neediness or someone that wants to extract from someone else, or just like, hey, here's my parent that I didn't have, or like, here, see me, meet me. So,
yes.
Which I've met with, you know, so many parts of myself inside of that. So I think, with you, I'm in awe of how much maturity there is in you, in the sense of like holding yourself so that I feel very, it's very easy to meet with you. And I think that happens when we learn to hold ourselves. Like, we don't need anyone else to hold us, but that intimacy is, you know, kind of overflowing or spilling over from the intimacy that we have with ourselves.
Oh, I love the way you said that. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I guess just to expand a little bit on what you said, yeah, I mean, I think that is about learning to be present with the parts of us, you know, get to know them, meet them more. And I've experienced this a lot in relationships, like, you know, a little, an inner child inside of me, a little boy that starts to, you know, grab onto the person I'm dating is like, oh, don't leave me. You know, and that neediness you were talking about. And I learned over time, like, that inner child is looking for love. You know, it's looking to be held. And when you're present with that part of you and holding it in your heart, then it starts to relax. And then you start to feel like your anxiety around abandonment diminishes, like, quite quickly. It's really interesting. Because that part was just looking for love, and then the love that it's looking for is here, you know? And the cool thing about that is that love can't go anywhere in a way, because you're always with you, you know? So, and then I think that needs to be repeated. We need to do that many, many times and practice and repeat, 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 because we're so conditioned to just identify with, say, you know, an inner child, a part of us, and do the kind of pattern that we're used to. So we have to kind of recondition ourselves in a new way. They're like, no, honey, you know, the love that you're looking for is here, and this love is actually more reliable.
Yeah. Yeah. And it really is quite simple. Right? Like you put it, that might not mean it's easy, but it's simple in the sense of like turning towards that and feeling it, like you said, being able to stand the feelings of longing or maybe even sadness or loneliness or despair or whatever is in there that that part of us have. And to be with it, to let it be felt.
Yeah, and I mean, it's, I like that you say it's simple, because it is. It's kind of like it's almost a two-step dance, you know? And you see that this is a part of you, first of all, you know? It's not the whole of you, it's a part. And then that unblending from it, or the unidentifying from it, that first step. And then the second step in the dance of being with this part, that is, so just two steps. That's really simple. Does it take a lot of practice? Yes.
Right.
Simple doesn't make it easy necessarily. And, you know, like I said, like, we're so used to just identifying with these parts and, going through the motions of the patterns that we've been conditioned to do, you know, oh, I'm in a relationship. That means I need to get anxious.
Yes.
On some level, that's what it is. Yeah. And we're so used to doing that, that it takes a very conscious, intentional practice to kind of, to reverse that, to approach it in a different way.
Yeah.
And so ultimately, yeah, it's simple. But we still have to work at it. I've had to work at it a lot.
Oh yeah. Me too. A lot. A lot from different angles. Like and realizing, oh, to do this simple thing, it actually requires a skill that I haven't practiced of directing my attention in a certain way. And it actually requires to feel love, right? Or curiosity and not judgment or opinion about what's going on. And so when you start to unpack it in that sense, like that two-step dance was like a whole world of awareness inside. And it's like I was thinking about that earlier. Just try be without your phone for a day if you've been with it a lot, and you will notice your hand reaching for it, right? So as soon as something has been has gone down into your unconscious in the sense of like it's happening automatically, your nervous system is running a process, it's firing certain neural pathways, then it's going to take a lot of attention and awareness and presence to like, whew, I'm going to be with that impulse and potentially do something different. Or, yeah, so the simple two-step dance is like, ah, I can feel so uncomfortable to like not do the old boogie or whatever you were doing.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. And it's a little bit counterintuitive. We could say it's counterintuitive because it's the opposite of what we're used to doing.
Yeah.
But also, you know, for me, I've always looked at this stuff in a little bit of a logical way. I could keep doing what I'd been doing, you know, and not sit with the discomfort, for example, when I'm feeling that, whether it's with, you know, a phone or, you know, like with the example I was using before, you have an inner child part coming up. Well, first of all, if you can get to that point of seeing that it's an inner child part coming up and you have that awareness, that's already a step in a sense.
Yeah.
What was I saying? If you can just look at it as like, if you do the same old patterns and don't change anything, don't sit with the discomfort, you're going to end up with the same results, you know? And so my motivation has been, I don't want to experience those same old things again. I don't want to end up in the same place.
Yeah.
You know, I want to experience something different. More peace in my system would be nice. Please and thank you, you know? And so that, you know, that's kind of always how I've looked at it, is like, I could do it the same old way. I could not sit with the discomfort, but then I'm just going to, you know, it's like going down the same road I've gone down before, you know, and I want something different.
Yeah. And in the pursuit of that different, if we're, I think, willing enough or honest enough, then we're willing to try out maybe many different things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm doing it from here now. I mean, for my own journey, I know where I started from. It was from suffering, right? And like needing to get out of it. Like, I cannot stand doing this anymore. This can't be it. So I think a bit of both of what you said a little while back of, yeah, there's a sense of there's more. So something is calling to me, letting me know, like, yeah, this is not all that you are. Mm-hmm. There is more to be experienced, like more of you. But also just like, I can't stand this. This is terrible, or I don't want to be this person even.
Mm-hmm.
So in a sense, like it started out with rejection of what was going on also. Like, this shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be having these reactions. I shouldn't be feeling this insecure, this jealous, or this controlling of these things, or whatever it was. And that took me a ways. Like, it took me a few steps. But then at a certain point, I had to question that motivation.
Mm-hmm.
I had to be willing to look at where that came from, because it could take me just so far. At a certain point, that became what was like in the way, or that was now creating a container where I could shift and grow as much, but not further than that. So there's like this constant humbling journey, right? Of like, you think you're like, I found it, and I know this thing now, and let's go change all the things. And then you're like, but now actually, like, I've just adapted a new belief system or whatever it is, and now I'm operating from here. So, and good news, bad news, because like, bad news, like, yeah, there's no quick fix or just from A to B. Good news for me, it's been the most fascinating journey to take, right? Because I get to learn more and more about myself and this whole universe inside a human being.
Yeah, wow, there's a lot there.
There's a lot there.
There's a lot there. You know, when you were talking about that, it made me think of when we, you know, going to Mexico together and doing those retreats, the Toltecs, they kind of had this. So, you know, for people who don't know, who might be listening to this, the place where Ava and I were, Teotihuacan, is the place where the Toltecs used to practice this kind of stuff that we're talking about, growing in consciousness and, you know, living a conscious life and being happy and connected to each other and all these things.
And so becoming the artist of their lives, right? Which is what the word Toltec means, artist.
Yeah, the creator.
Mm.
And so, you know, that's a whole tradition. The Toltec is a whole tradition of spirituality. And one of the aspects of it is they were big into like spirit animals, and you know, they had a certain connection with the animal kingdom, because this was hundreds, thousands of years ago. You know, they weren't surrounded by all the technology that we have now. And they would see the animals in the animal kingdom, and like, they're hunting each other. You know, they are, you know, there's eagles and hawks that are hunting smaller animals. And then there's the jaguar, and they thought, there's wisdom in that. Oh, I'm going to be like a warrior. And so part of the Toltec tradition is being a warrior and, with your own inner world. And sometimes, you know, we need to do that. And what I wanted to connect this to, Ava, is you talking about in the beginning of your journey, it's like a rejecting, you know, it's kind of like going to war with yourself a little bit. And that can serve for a while, but for me, I think probably for you as well, I won't put words in your mouth though.
I think we know enough about each other's journey, so we can say that. Yeah.
Okay. You know, the way it showed up for me was I started to notice, this consciousness that's here, this presence, it doesn't feel like it's fighting with anything. It doesn't feel like it's at war with anything. That's interesting. So this warrior, this way of kind of fighting myself, is something arising within that. And it started to, so I started to lean more in the direction of, how can I approach this in a way where I'm not going to war with myself? And I'm not rejecting necessarily, because that seems to be what this consciousness or this presence that's here, that seems to be the way that it's doing it. It doesn't seem to be fighting with anything.
Yeah. As that's very similar to my own experience. And that's even how, you know, like how I put it inside of being me, like that longer program that I do after alchemy, of like, when you start aligning, I've even found that this is like a hack. When you start aligning with and behaving like that consciousness, a loving consciousness, and in a sense you can even, I wouldn't say fake it, but you start behaving like it, meaning if you start welcoming what's inside of you, mm-hmm. like what happens is you start being it. You start embodying it. You get mm-hmm. closer to it. You start sensing yourself as it. And in my experience, that's why we feel so separated and so like isolated or disconnected with ourselves, with other people, even if we're in relationship with them or even with friends when we're sitting at a dinner party. It's like, I don't feel myself here, or I don't feel myself connecting with them, because there is this dissonance between our a sense of ourselves that is this conscious awareness, that is this loving field. And when we have lost touch with that, and when we're behaving in opposition with that, or out of alignment with it, like it's our soul and our mind, like all of us is suffering.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. And you might not notice other people kind of suffering in that way, or at least you might ask them and they might, you know, tell you, "No, I'm fine, I'm good." Mm-hmm. I think it's when it starts to wake up in us a little bit. The consciousness or presence or whatever you want to call it, starts to wake up in us a little bit, and then we have another reference point versus all this stuff that's going on in our mind and kind of this chaos, this chaos and these storms emotionally. And then, this other part of me is kind of peaceful, kind of like the eye of the storm, you know? And so when that starts to wake up a little bit, it's like, I think I might like more of that peace. And so that, in a strange way, that kind of might create its own kind of suffering, because now you know something that's different than the storms and the chaos and, you know, everything that's going on in the mind. You see another possibility.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like self-awareness almost becomes a curse at that point, when you like wake up and you see all this chaos inside of you and you feel it, and you might not have a choice yet to do anything different. So it's like feeling like you're, you know, strangled by it, or yeah, like it's got power over you, which is part of the illusion, right? But yeah, no, but I think I'm sensing something in what you're saying of when I say that there's suffering in when we're disconnected from a sense of wholeness. In many ways, for me, that's completely okay. I mean, there's no judgment in that, you know, that's perfect too. Like we can live a life like that, and we can live, and that is still consciousness having an experience.
Absolutely.
Right? 100%. So it's not about like, oh my God, you failed, you didn't get enlightened, or you didn't wake up, or you didn't, like, in a sense to me, like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't fucking matter, because it's all the same. Like, consciousness is there, it's having that experience. It's having an experience of forgetting who it is, or it's having an experience of suffering, or it's having an experience of like all the things. And that's beautiful. And in the beginning, when I started doing this work, I don't think that wasn't the perspective that I had. And I think my mind was very much making it better or worse, whether you were awakened or enlightened or, you know, but that has shifted over time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I get the sense, you know, maybe there's people listening to this. I'll say I've certainly felt this way, that when you get into this stuff, spiritual journey or personal development or however you think about it, you know, there might be a tendency to like want other people to get on board with it, you know, or like my family, like, well, if they could only see this, like they could be on this journey too. It'd be so exciting for me. Maybe it'd be exciting for them. You know, I want to share this with them. And so there's an authentic part of that too. You know, I want to share this beauty and this love and this presence that I'm getting connected with. I want to share that with them. Like, that's authentic. That's cool. But where our ego, so to speak, takes that and kind of distorts it into something else is, oh, I need them to change. You know, and we might not even be saying that, but that's still what it is. I need them to be different than they are. I want them to be different than they are. Rather than like, you know, like you just said, Ava, like consciousness at play, having an experience. Or who am I to say that that's not the experience it should be having?
Right. And that's, oh my God, I think that's like a whole awakening in itself to see that or experience that, like, none of these expressions of life or consciousness, there's like not anything wrong with it at all. And I think that's when Miguel Ruiz's words started to make sense to me of like, everything is perfect. I'm like, ah, yeah, there's consciousness in life wants to have all the experiences. Like, it wants to have them all. So it's more, if you're in there looking out through the eyes of this little human, of this experience, of this expression, and you are starting to like sense your own will in there and sense your own like desire, now you can be the co-creator, right? You can start directing that experience and say, well, actually, yeah, this is fine. I could keep suffering my whole life, sure, but if I get to choose, what would I like to do? Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean that it's worse or better.
Nope, it doesn't mean that.
Mind blowing to a younger version of myself that was like, I really need to get better at this.
Yeah, and I guess what comes up when you say that is, for me, there's a simplicity to that as well, because someone might hear that, oh, everything's perfect, and think like, sounds like a bunch of nonsense. I mean, look at what's going on in the world. Yeah. You know, it's nothing perfect about this, but it's not like that. It's more like, if you just took away all the words for just a moment, and you just kind of imagine, even if you had no thoughts about anything that's going on right now, what would that be like? And when there's no other voice saying this shouldn't be the way that it is, then you see it. There's a perfection to it. It's not something you're imposing on it. It's just, it's perfect the way it is.
Because it is the way it is.
Like, it's, it is the way it is.
It's perfect because it exists. Like, because it happens to be what's there.
Yeah.
And it's that, yeah, that conflict that the mind is with what's there often. Doesn't have to be. You can kind of train your mind, or in my experience, it's even simpler than that. Your mind will also start aligning with a different consciousness. It might still be like throwing out judgments and doing its thing, or, you know, opinions and worries and stress and like all the things, comparison, right or wrong. But first of all, you can hold a different space for that. It's like, yeah, it's the mind doing its thing. But my experience is also that it starts aligning with a different sense of reality when you do. Like when you lead from consciousness or from the heart of your being, the mind is not in charge in the same way anymore. So it starts to also think new thoughts mm-hmm. or like align with a different consciousness. Is that how you experience it as well? Or what? How is your like relationship with your mind?
Oh my gosh. Well, that's such a big question. And well, but I do love what you're saying because I've never, let me say it this way. I've never felt in my heart that my mind is an enemy. Mm-hmm. Okay. I do recognize that, you know, in doing this kind of work, it's very important to learn to unidentify from the mind. Like that's hugely important, totally, you know, and I've seen that as well. Mm-hmm. But, you know, again, I've never felt like my mind is an enemy to me. Mm-hmm. And I think it's kind of like you said, there's a retraining that goes on or kind of like a conversion. Mm-hmm. An alchemy, even.
Yeah, unprogramming, a deprogramming, yeah.
Deprogramming, mm-hmm. where that mind can be an ally yeah. as it comes more into alignment with consciousness or the spirit. And that, you know, and we want that too, because this part of us that we're calling the mind has a lot of gifts and capacities, resources to share with the other parts of us. We don't want to throw those by the wayside. You know, ideally, those would be incorporated and used by the whole. So this turning it into an ally thing is a good idea.
It's an excellent idea. And it's kind of like what we're doing right here, right now, is a great example yeah. of that, right? We're somewhere inside of these little electrical processes that we both are. Like, we are turning something that we're feeling or sensing or picking up on and turning it into words that the other person, like in a language that the other person can understand and
totally.
The people, yeah. So, so it's like, it's limiting in the sense that it can never fully, fully describe the direct experience. Like, mm-hmm. how can I ever describe to you the experience of being me? Like, mm-hmm. of having mm-hmm. the experience of being Eva, like, mm-hmm. and everything I'm feeling or sensing and vice versa. Like, how could you ever describe in words to me what the experience of you, of love is? Like, and it's good enough. mm-hmm. It's something that we can, that allows us to communicate on a certain level. It won't reach all the way in potentially, but it can point us there. Mm-hmm. It's kind of this mm-hmm. what we got to play with in this realm, and like in this, yeah, mm-hmm. this experience that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, making it an ally, yeah. now it can speak for us, right? It can speak for that love. It can speak for that. It can point towards that instead of away from it.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. And then it's helping. It's being a helper.
Yeah.
One thing that came up was, I feel like it's really important for us, again, doing this kind of work, it's really important to kind of value direct experience as opposed to your concepts or your ideas about it, because that experience is where the transformation is, actually.
Oh, you
know,
yes.
The experience is what changes us. You know, when we have this experience of our heart opening and feeling love for the people around us and even love for ourselves, that changes you. You know, you're changing on an internal level. And that's kind of what everybody's wanting. So really having that sense of being oriented towards experience, I feel that's really important. And at the same time, and this is a little bit of a contradiction to that. I don't know how I'm going to say this, but like a good idea can orient you in the right direction. It's kind of like what we were talking about before, you know, the idea of, how about we not be at war with ourselves? You know, that's an idea. It's a starting point, you know, but it could take you off of this whole track of, I need to fight, you know, these inner parts of me, and I need to overcome them and, you know, beat them into submission. Like, that could change the whole game for you. It yes. could lead you to new experiences. So there's kind of this dance.
Oh, yes. And I believe that since we've been so identified with our mind, and since the, you know, human consciousness, like where we are at in the evolution of human consciousness, there's so much identification with the mind. So if we try to just bypass it, like we're also missing out on bringing it on board. It's almost like we need to move through the mind. I see that, and I love that point that you're bringing, because it's like you can shift someone's consciousness by planting a seed in the mind, right? This mm-hmm. is now we're mm-hmm. going into Toltec dreaming again, right? In that tradition, like an idea is alive, and that's very much how I experience it. It's not just a theory in a Toltec tradition, but energetically I experience it that way. Like an idea is alive. So, and this is, of course, how we've gotten so pulled up in our minds and being dreamt by all these ideas. So in that sense, the mind is easier to manipulate and influence. So, of course, you can put other seeds in there. You can put the seed that, and this is what I find so helpful for myself on my own journey, and I use it a lot with clients, of like just giving them permission to do things. You have permission to feel this.
Mm-hmm.
You have permission to, you know, those are words. That's an idea entering their minds, but maybe it's the first time they hear it and it touches on an unmet need deeper down.
Mm-hmm.
But it enters the mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I very much, yes, that's my experience, what you're saying. Of like, it needs to be a dance between how can we use the mind? How can we bring the mind on board? How can we enter through the mind? Mm-hmm. Since it's often like the gatekeeper also.
Mm-hmm.
The part that's been kind of protecting us, and I don't know, and can I trust this, and can I do this? So if we can enter through there, yes, new possibilities opens up. Yeah, and it can shift your belief system, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, this is like, it's what you're saying. It's like music to my soul. I love hearing this, you know. Yeah, and that part of what you're saying about, because kind of the thrust of what you're saying is like, how are we going to bypass this thing that's such a big part of our life in a way? You know, like that's, it's not such a good idea to try and, I mean, some spiritual teachings try and do that, you know, just go beyond it. And maybe that has its time and place. But if you take this attitude of working with, you know, the parts of you that you might think to bypass, it'll be a different experience, a more easeful inside of you, more easeful and more, like you're not going to war with yourself. You're not fighting yourself.
Exactly. You don't have an ongoing conflict inside of you, because if you choose to say that, now my mind is the problem. My mind is a big problem in my life.
Yeah.
And you're kind of saying it with that. So I need to turn away from the mind. I need to not care about the mind. I should only be consciousness and remember that nothing matters and take nothing personally. You know, whatever it is, whatever you're like trying to, any new beliefs you're trying to live by. It's like, well, you've just created a new conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're not free.
Exactly.
Because imagine now, okay, now a thought is coming up or a little activation or something going on and there's a storm going, right? Now that storm is a problem. And mm-hmm. to the sky, the storm is not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
The storm will only be a problem for some other weather, you know, or someone that's touched by the storm. But like, as soon as you start, as I talk often about it, of like including, love is not exclusive. Love is not excluding. Love is including, even of your mind. So the more you start including in a sense of love, your freedom grows, your personal power grows, a sense of truth inside of you grows. And with that, like you said, the delicious sense of peace of,
Yeah, and honestly, Ava, this is what I've always been drawn to, is I think that what you're talking about there, you know, love being all-inclusive, it's rooted in the wisdom of the heart. You know, there, you could say, like, our heart has certain teachings, or you could, I guess you could say there, it's kind of the wisdom of the divine feminine as well, the wisdom of love, that, you know, all parts of us have value. You know, they have something to contribute to the whole. And so when we're kind of rooted in this heart wisdom, the approach that comes from there is, well, what's it like to see if I can include all of it?
Yeah.
You know? And that's easier said than done. It's a process and it's practices, but you know, it's also very rich. You know, to not kind of like cut off parts of yourself, but to include not just the mind, but the heart and your body and, you know, the less tangible parts of you as well, you know, call it the soul, the spirit, but kind of to be playing music with all these parts of you, like they're an ensemble, you know, that's a rich life. You're getting to experience all those flavors. So there's a lot there. You know?
Oh my God, there's a lot there. And I, to me, like when you do that, something opens up energetically for me. This has been, I think I call it like my third awakening or something, like when I really started to allow myself to feel like to, and not just, I don't know, intellectually or in one part of my body, but letting my whole body be involved in the process of feeling. Like letting it pass through every cell of my body and let it, like the energy of that emotion just curse or ripple or explode or, you know, whatever you wanted to do. I mean, in that, I think it was then that I started to understand, and you know, I'm not claiming to know much because I think there's still a lot that I haven't tasted or touched. But in that, it was such a profound new experience of aliveness. And I was like, this is what I've been cutting myself off from. So when you say rich, that's what it is for me. It's like, ah, here's the richness of life. Here's where it's been feeling numb or empty or boring or just like, what's the point and why are we doing this? Mm-hmm. And then like this comes rushing in and it's just like, oh, it's right here. The orgasmicness of the whole universe, like from that big bang and in, you know, in every exploding supernova and black hole, it's like it's right here between the electrons in the cells of my body. So amen to richness. Yes, richness, aliveness, like whew, there it is.
Yeah it feels good. Yeah, and I don't know why, but when you're talking about that, I just get this sense of kind of like a warm safe, cozy sense of home, you know, and
which is super fucking like dangerous and explosive and like turning, you know, spinning in the space. And it's so fascinating. Like, but I feel the same you do, but it, like that paradox is it's home and it's also fucking like exploding in all directions.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess I always come back to openness, you know, just being open to that.
Yeah.
To that whole big bang of feelings and open to being moved.
Yeah.
You know, open to being guided. Yeah.
But I think I experienced that this was like almost like this hidden secret that I stumbled up on or something, because in the spiritual traditions that I'd been studying or been embodying and being with, feeling like and emotions weren't a big piece of it. Like early on when I started, there was a lot of like, you're not your emotions, and almost looking back at it now, a dismissal of them. And like, they are not true, don't believe them. So I think I sensed that there was like this old, call it patriarchal structure, or maybe just an imprint, or just from thousands of years of power struggle and mind ruling and intellect ruling over the animal body, or trying to conquer the earth or whatever, and having intellect and structure kind of rule. But I've just like you describe of like in my heart, you said in your heart, you didn't feel like your mind was an enemy, right? Mm-hmm. The same way. It's like, our emotions aren't an enemy also. And when I started having these like more, maybe Tantra is like one of the traditions, right, that really embraces feeling and emotions and embracing everything, one of them that speaks about that. But when I started having that experience, I was like, why is no one talking about this? And maybe I just hadn't heard it, or I had been in different traditions, but that was huge for me. Because it's like, this is a freaking lie that's been told again and again, right? This is like a truth of ourselves that's been kept from us. And, you know, we've been almost believing that we're crazy if we feel too much, right? Or we're, So I find that this is so freeing for so many people when they get full permission to feel. They'll usually be afraid of it, right? Because they've internalized that same fear or control around feeling, because it's the control and fear of our own aliveness, our own power.
And I will say, Ava, I think one of the places that I've experienced that the most is when I did your course, Being Me. And I guess I had a similar trajectory to you in that, I mean, the things that I was drawn to, actually, the teachings that I was drawn to, like Eckhart Tolle I mentioned earlier, and others kind of like that, Buddhism, they're tapped into something too. They definitely are, but it's kind of that masculine approach. And I guess the shadow, we could say the shadow of the masculine approach is that patriarchal thing, where, you know, we're rejecting our emotions and rejecting in subtle ways our body and you know, our experience as a human, a flawed, imperfect, you know, destructible human. And then, I feel like the feminine complement to that is like we've been talking about, leaning into those aspects of ourselves. And one of the fears, it's a strange one, but one of the fears that came up for me around that was like, oh, am I moving away from enlightenment now? Because these other teachers are saying, you know, you need to be, you know, like Eckhart Tolle, be the pure awareness and only the observer all the time. And it's like, that has a place. That's part of the big picture, right? That's kind of the masculine teaching. But if you leave the feminine out of it, man, then you're losing out on all that stuff that you were just talking about, the aliveness and the richness and like the yumminess. So
yeah. And it's such a, that becomes such an interesting conflict, because you're sitting there in a human body brought to life, you know, by the feminine, or existing in the essence of the feminine, of life itself as an expression of life. And you're kind of turning away from it, saying that spirituality is like our true essence is beyond this, like it's consciousness itself. And for me, then you're already in duality whilst trying to speak of non-duality. Like you've already polarized yourself to one pole, because the non-duality, like it holds everything, right? Paradox. Mm-hmm. It's its signum. It's like it's everything and no thing. So I find the most like delicious experience, like when there's masculine embodiment, meaning holding consciousness that is turned towards the feminine, that is turned towards life itself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oof. Yeah, then, yeah, that's big bang. Yeah. Like both components.
And there's a question coming up in me for you, Ava, and because I wonder how you, because I guess the way it feels for me is I can bring that consciousness to sort of the world of feeling. Mm-hmm. And but then that feels a little bit different to me than just kind of, in a way, surrendering to the feeling and just letting go into it. And I feel like there's a time and place for that too, and wonder what comes up for you there.
Yes, I practice both, and I find that both are as valuable and helpful. Like, meaning, you know, inside of alchemy, like pillar number four is feeling, and there's guidance in both, like embodying your feeling or being the consciousness of that feeling. So for me, more to get a little more practical or tangible, that means if I want to sit with an emotion more as the masculine or more as the consciousness itself, I open my attention. So just softening my focus a lot and just sensing that sense of consciousness inside of myself and like connecting it with everything. And in there, on that sky, there's something moving, right? But I'm not going into embodying that. Like I'm embodying consciousness more. I'm sitting. I'm the mountain. I'm the tree. Mm-hmm. And then feeling that aliveness inside, which is more like breathing with it. There's a channel. I feel it moving. I feel the sensations, but like I don't really respond to it. Versus if I would go into a feminine embodiment, which has been taught a lot less, and I find that that really has had a price, that we haven't done this so much. So I tend to emphasize it to people to like do this, like get in here. And then like you can find all the different ways how you can be with your emotions. But the feminine way would be to actually go in and feel it and move with it and embody it. So if there's a sense of contraction, maybe you contract your muscle and you tense everything and let it move you. Let yourself be that feeling and that emotion. Mm-hmm. So it's like, embody it. Still with the sense of consciousness then around you, but what you choose to embody, what you're a vessel for, is the feeling itself. Mm. So it's mm-hmm. like, do you embody the consciousness and feel the life inside of that? Or do you feel consciousness and embody life?
Mm-hmm. I love that. And something that's coming up for me is there might be certain people listening to this who are wired similarly. But like I mentioned earlier, I'm such a, I have such a tendency towards kind of the intellect and philosophy that I found, it's usually not so good for, for really being deeply in touch with your feelings. 'Cause those are a little bit at odds. I found with these spiritual practices is that, being consciousness, sometimes I need to let that go, actually, to really get in touch with the feelings, because I'm so good at heading them off at the pass.
Yes.
At somehow getting around them. And I can even do that when I'm practicing being awareness or consciousness. It can feel a little disembodied, actually, in some of these teachings that we were talking about before. They're kind of pointing to a disembodied kind of awareness.
Yes.
And if we want to go, and if you're hearing this and you're resonating with this and you're wanting to go in that direction of feeling more, sometimes you need to do the opposite of what you were doing before. You need to do the opposite of mindfulness and meditation, in a sense.
Very much so. That's my experience too. Like I had a point on my journey, and I was pointed there from many, many different directions. Like I was nudged there. And as an example, Michael Singer I don't remember if it's in The Unfettered Soul or if it was The Surrender Experiment, but there is a passage in one of those books where he talks about like his longing, his wanting to for expansion and like enlightenment and just like longer and longer meditations and just like sitting in that light and like a sense of wanting to go kind of higher and higher. And then he has this experience when he's at a retreat and they're sitting in a cave, or if he's sitting in a cave maybe inside of his meditation, I don't remember exactly. But he's getting a very clear message that like the trying to go up, he's like hitting a ceiling. And what he actually is asked to do is to go down. Mm. Like to go down into the darkness, into the underworld, into the like the humanness. Mm-hmm. And that is very much part of my experience. So that's among other things that like other messages that kept nudging me to let go of my freaking spiritual ego, or that aiming, like that reaching up or towards the light and really going. So I had a period where I'm like, screw the character, screw like unidentifying, like let me go in and really be in the muck of this, like like crawling around in this like sense of underworld and uncomfortableness. And because I was like, my nervous system was still having experiences, like intense experiences of freeze, of terror, of shame in certain ways, as it was trying to like unraveling or unfolding certain events and experiences like in the past. And I needed to go in and like fully fucking be that freeze and start seeping love into it. by letting myself go there, because it was almost like, can you see, like a rejection or denial of it by not wanting to go into it. So just as you're saying, and it's so funny, we were talking about it today in the alchemy session. There was someone sharing that, like, the unidentification and the parts, talking about these different aspects of myself as parts, has been really helpful, like up until a while ago. And now I feel like something weird is happening. There's like a disassociation with it. And we're talking about this exactly, of like at a certain point of your journey, you might need to like put that aside and fully allow yourself to identify with all of it and embody all of it. And like go in and be them and play them. And because in a sense, that's what we're here for. We're here to play out all these archetypes and these roles. So like allow yourself that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like one of the undercurrents of our talk so far, Ava, is there are kind of these different phases or stages on the journey, and what we do at one stage or one point in time, in the next phase, we might do completely the opposite thing, you know, which to our logical, rational mind
is a pain in the ass.
What the fuck?
Just give me the freaking roadmap and I'll follow it. But like, don't keep changing it around.
Because it's confusing enough to like, wait a sec, I'm not my mind and not these parts of me. And there's something else here, this presence. And like, okay, I was getting used to that. And then wait, now I'm feeling drawn down into like really being a human, or, you know, however you say that, really feeling. But yeah, because it does make sense, because, you know, we have all these different parts of us, you know? And so what you're going to do to kind of awaken one part of you, isn't going to be the same thing that you're going to do for another part of you. It could be a completely different process. But I think, and, you know, for people listening to this, what I'd invite them, I guess, to come back to is, it's all about, where are you now? You know, it's not about anybody else's journey in a way. It's about your journey. And where are you? What's relevant for you? What are you resonating with right now? And what's kind of on the periphery of your awareness that feels like that could be the next thing? Go towards that, you know, because that's going to be your expansion. And if it's not what somebody else is doing, who cares? Because it might be exactly what you need that is going to lead to the most expansion for you. Okay. And so that's the best thing for you right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Like, don't create new dogmas or concepts that you then lock yourself into. Always like use skills and tools as long as they're helpful and supportive. And if they're not anymore, like, then throw them out or turn them upside down or try them on inside out or something else. Mm-hmm. No, because otherwise now we're pulled up in our head again, right? And we're experiencing through a filter of what should be, or what I should experience, I should be having from this, when what we need to do again and again, and which is such a pain in the ass to the mind, is to get presence. Get present with ourselves, being with ourselves.
Yeah, sometimes it's like going to Mexico, and you'll be out a little bit in the desert, you know, in the sunshine, and you're just absorbing the rays, and that's your practice. And then there might be another point where it's time to stay up late, and the moon is going to be bright and full. The stars are out overhead. Yeah. And your journey at that point is bask in that. Yeah. And it's the opposite, but it's perfect for you.
Yes. And there's a time when you're disciplined with your morning practice and you're eating all the right things, or maybe you're vegetarian for a while, or you know, you're detoxing or whatever it is. And then comes a point where you're like, no, now there's abundance. Now there's sleeping in and resting and fully allowing and just letting things be the way they are. And yeah, and that keeps shifting and changing. And as soon as we become too rigid with this is how it's supposed to be, that's when we lose that connection with life itself.
So to bring it back to where we started from, it's about listening. You know, listen to yourself and what are the deeper currents in you that are moving somewhere and inviting you to go along with them. And that's your guide. That's what to pay attention to. That's the next thing.
Yeah. And again, coming back to where we started, sounds easy. It is easy or simple, but it might not be easy. Because when we've been so identified with the mind, like when we ask someone to listen, it's like, well, all I hear is mind chatter, right? Or which one of these voices do I listen to? Or is there even like, what's in here? So it's like, yeah, now we're coming back to that again of like, okay, then starting with unidentifying and starting with observing what's going on in there and kind of filtering through all these different voices and getting to know them and finding a different home underneath them. Yeah, it's going to be so helpful. So it's like, where does the cycle, where does the practice begin? It's like, it's all connected, like these skills, again, of sensing awareness inside of you, connecting with something else, unidentifying, feeling things, like, yeah.
And I think it begins, or I'll say this in a little bit of a funny way. Mm-hmm. I think it starts with a stop. You know, you got all these voices going on in your head and you're feeling all these different things, and this doesn't have to make sense to your mind, but just stop. Drop in. Notice, okay, I'm here. And feel in just a little bit more deeply. And since, you know, even though there's all this stuff going on, something in the background that's quiet. And no matter what you do or don't do, that's always going to be there.
Yeah. That's such a gift when you start noticing that, right? And have that experience like, yeah, that this was always here. Can't go away. Yeah. So I'm really excited that you have said yes to my invitation and request of holding space, facilitating, teaching, sharing inside of Beyond the Mind. And you've done Beyond the Mind a long time ago. You've done Being Me. But I love this conversation that we've had and the consciousness that's kind of this channel that is flowing between us of the masculine and the feminine. So for me, like the journey with Beyond the Mind, it really came from basically out of the first year of Teotihuacan. Because I started having these, a different experience, right? Glimpses of them there, a shift in consciousness, a, you know, another dream outside of the mind. And I became so fascinated about that. So the part engineer taking things apart brain that I have wanted to, like, can I repeat that experience? Is that something that just happened by chance or by being on top of a pyramid or because someone moved some power or some energy? Did someone do this to me? Or is this, like, available to me at all times? Is this what I am? Is this, like, what the heck is this? So I started really investigating, like, into the heart of meditation, meaning, like, how, what is it that I do with my attention internally to have the experience of consciousness inside of me? And I started really, like, paying attention, really meticulously, like, what did I just do there? Like, what was the shift I made? Because partly because my mind was so skeptical, and it had been so skeptical, and it needed that kind of hand-holding in understanding the process. So that was what Beyond the Mind became, like these steps of how do you tune your attention and, like, this vessel to that channel, like which knobs and do you need to turn to, like, start to pick up on that frequency. And in the beginning, that was, I think, very much an escape from the human experience. It was like, oh my God, finally a breather. Like, I'm gonna have the experience of consciousness. This is way nicer. But then I started turning that towards the human experience, right? So, like, that became my intention with Beyond the Mind. Learn to go beyond the mind so that you can turn it towards, like, all the parts inside of you that needs healing, attention, that's been longing for this love or whatever it is. But get good at embodying or dreaming consciousness.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I just had this funny thought when you were speaking about all that is, you know, it's funny because we're looking for what's beyond the mind and where is it, you know? And the answer is, it's here. It's right here, you know? And when we get identified with our mind and with the stuff that's going on inside of consciousness, within consciousness, we don't notice what it's all happening within literally all the time. There's not a moment where consciousness isn't present. It's what's aware right now. It's what's hearing our words right now. So, you know, Beyond the Mind is coming back to that. If you're feeling that, oh, if this is what's resonating with you right now, and this is, like, what's alive for you at this point in your journey, you know, it's Ava's course. I'm going to be there helping out and guiding people to, or helping people see what's always here, you know? And like you were saying, Ava, that's my experience as well. There's a relief from feeling, this presence, this consciousness that's beyond the mind, it's not having the same suffering experience that the things that are appearing within it are having, we could say. And for me, it's also like freedom. You know, it's just, this is the sky. This is the wide open sky. Yeah. And, you know, and this is part of the wholeness. Yeah. It's a very liberating part of it.
Yeah. And for some of us, that might feel closer to at hand than our emotions, for example. Like, going there might feel like, ooh, yeah, that's actually more accessible than getting into the muck of our emotions. And for some, it might be the opposite, right? Oh, feeling I can do, but this sense of like, so that's why it's so helpful to practice it, right? Mm. Whatever, whether your desire and longing is to have the experience of consciousness inside of you and experience that freedom, or if you want to feel more, like reaching that sense of, we can call it the true observer, right? Or like an essence of our being that's permeating everything. Like that will allow for so many other things to unfold on your journey, because now you're not trying to do it from inside an identification with your mind that has an agenda, that has opinions about other parts showing up, about your emotions. But when you truly are there, everything is welcome. You are that sky. So if you're finding that peace, if you're, for example, doing alchemy with me and you're like, huh, I'm finding it really challenging to like unblend from all these parts and having a sense of myself outside of them, then Beyond the Mind is going to be really, really helpful because it's really like taking apart the steps. And what I love with having Paul teaching and sharing in there and having like calls with people is because I know that, well, one, you've taken the journey, right? Both with deeply, deeply with meditation, both in the Buddhist tradition and in many different traditions, and like the Toltec dreaming. So you're, my God, getting so good embodied help. And then second, that I know your like compassion and love for people on their journeys and just how you're talking about it now of like everyone is on different places in their journeys and everyone's going to have different needs. Like you're not going to try to impose your way of doing things onto people, but you're such a gorgeous, beautiful space holder and guide in that sense of like guiding people home to themselves and respecting, honoring their journey. So I'm super, super happy, both for myself and for the people that are going to do it. I'm already excited for them.
Oh, I mean, thank you. And yeah, I feel grateful to be included. Mm. And yeah, I mean, it really is, you know, it might sound cliche to some people, but to me, in my soul and my spirit, it really does feel like an honor to be part of other people's journeys. That's no small thing, you know. So I take that seriously. You know, that is one thing I take seriously. Okay.
He says with a giggle. As seriously as we can take it, right? Before. It just reminds me again, brings up good memories from Teotihuacan and just walking back from the grounds and just like laughing hysterically at ourselves and, and how seriously we've been taking ourselves and just having that whole experience blown apart. And there's nothing else you can do but laugh.
It just, you know, just a fair warning to everyone who's listening right now. That's where it goes. Okay. You're just going to find yourself to be ridiculous. So if you're game for that, I keep it coming. But if you're not ready for that, then I would suggest going somewhere else.
If you're looking to take yourself seriously, find a different course. the building the ego course. Practice. Maybe that's what we're doing next. Practice to take yourself really seriously.
I mean, we're talking about doing the opposite, so.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I was like. Let's embrace it, right? Let's play it out. The ego's need of feeling important. Like, yes. I'm so important.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man.
So, you know, I probably haven't told you, but I've booked the dates for my first solo-led power journey to Teotihuacan.
Mm. I did see that, actually. It's in January.
You did see that? Because where did I post this? On Instagram. Yeah.
Somewhere. See,
so it wasn't so secret. January 5th.
I'm a good observer. That's
I can tell you pick up on things. Yeah, you do.
Okay.
January 5th till 11, 2025. So that's, you know, 10 year anniversary from our first trip.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And as a little sprinkling on top of that cake, it's also over my birthday.
Whoa.
Because why not? Let's have a rebirth in Teotihuacan.
Yeah, it's going to be big. I'm excited to see, you know, what that experience is like in your container, Ava. Curious and excited about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too. You know, because I won't know until I'm there.
You won't. This is an honest spiritual teacher right here.
Right? Yep.
Not claiming to know.
Not claiming to know at all.
If people, you're going to show up and stuff is going to happen.
Exactly that. I'm just getting the nudge from Teotihuacan itself to like come visit me, come play. And when that door is open, I know it's going to be magical.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, if you haven't gone before it, you know, this is one of those things where, like we were saying earlier, words and ideas don't really capture it, but there really is a living presence of Teo. And so, you know, part of the experience, a really big part of it that you're getting when you go there is, you know, like if you're going to Ava's retreat, for example, you're getting that container and getting guided by someone who's, you know, been doing this for like a decade, and that's powerful. But it's also meeting Teo itself and being influenced by that presence and that energy that,
yeah.
I mean, the times that I've gone to Teo, you know, it's just crazy. Yeah. The big expansion that happened there. And I know your experience has been the same. You've been way more than I have. So.
No, but yeah, it does things too, right? You can try to avoid it or maybe then you shouldn't go to begin with. But it's like, no, it's going to work its way into your consciousness. And this is what I find so fascinating because, again, the mind thinks that it's doing the work, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm the one who makes things happen. But like, no, you don't need to bring your mind to Teo in that sense of like trying to figure things out. It's very much just exposing yourself for that consciousness and receiving it and being willing to dream, like to dream a different dream and connect with the consciousness and Teo. And then things move.
You need friends, you know, beside you on the path. And sometimes your friend is like an ancient ruin site with really big pyramids and snakeheads carved into the side of the pyramid. Sometimes that's your best friend. I'm telling you.
I'm laughing because it's so true. And I also feel like I'm also flashing on some sense of like being alone as a child. I was telling the story the other another week on the podcast of like how I grew up in the forest, and you know, when my older sister started going to school or preschool, like I had pretty much no one to play with except for, you know, the trees. And I had my little made up friend also, like my invisible friend. but so now I'm flashbacking on that. Like, oh yeah, I grew up and my best friend became Teotihuacan, like the pyramids and the, like, yeah.
Yeah, no, but there is like, you can feel it as like a profound heart connection with this place. It's not dead, you know, it's alive. And, and it changes you.
Yes.
I'll say that.
In a sense, especially maybe after the last year of teaching there, it's the sense of like, yeah, I don't have a lot of saying. Meaning my ego doesn't have a lot of saying in this whole process, you know, that I've been with, like intimately connected with Teotihuacan. It's been like the most amazing initiation. And I'm like, I'll write about it. I'll write the story. Mm. But mm-hmm. I wouldn't do it. Like I wouldn't guide people there. I wouldn't take people there if Teotihuacan didn't want it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. I'm just having one of those moments right now where I'm really getting present with, you know, what we're saying, and we're talking about Teo so much, like it's another person, and you know, it's like it's here with us in a way.
Oh yeah.
And it's you know, it calls you, and you might feel that if you're listening to this now, you might feel like a calling, and know that that's not an accident. You know, that's really there, and you know, I felt it, and Avis felt it, and it's really like calling you to getting reconnected with something, but also it's not something that your mind is going to be able to imagine.
No.
So you're leaping into the unknown, and yeah, it's a leap. The Toltecs, according to the stories, you know, when they got new initiates, they used to take them out onto some of the stone walls at midnight, and or in the middle of the night. It was completely dark, and walking around during the day, they would see the ground by the stone walls, and there's nothing there. You know, it's just ground. So you jump off that stone wall, you're going to die, and so they know that in their mind. And yet they're guided and asked by their teachers to trust and to take a leap off that stone wall. And they do. And so if you just imagine that sensation of what it's like to fall, you know, and you think you're falling to your death, it's that level of trust. And what they didn't know was that their teachers and the people who were initiating them had filled that area up with water during the night before they jump. So when they jump and they land in the water, they just hit that cold, you know, and it's like an awakening moment. Oh, leaping into the unknown, and I trust, and you know, now everything's different.
Yeah.
And it's like that, you know, and coming to Teo is like that. There's a trust aspect to it. You don't know what's going to happen. I didn't know. We didn't know. But you go there and it's like leaping off that stone wall. And you're leaping into a new reality in a way.
Yeah. You
know? That's what was calling you. Mm-hmm. You'll find out.
In your own way, you'll find out. Yeah, and there's something beautiful in the sense of Theo loves when people come play with her. Like Paul said, she's like alive and like she's there for a reason. She loves moving people through this process. And like, so when you show up with that willingness and with that intention, she's like, okay, let's go. Let's go for a ride.
Yeah. So there's,
yeah. And there's something so beautiful. And like when we're sitting here and talking and where we started the conversation of like, okay, 9 years back, we went the first time. And yeah, there's a sense of like a new generation and a new, maybe whatever our journeys has been will be different from previous generations, right? Again and again and again. And the generations that will come after us will have evolved again, and we will be the old, you know, covered in moss ones. So there's an excitement I feel both in that, in the consciousness of Teotihuacan and inside of myself, of like a new generation that it keeps, that we keep coming back there in different ways. Mm-hmm. And that it's very much allowing these shifts and changes and like, okay, let's bring in the feminine aspect and the feeling aspect, and like, let's make the journey one that supports us and where the human consciousness is at presently. So mm-hmm. instead of like old rigid traditions and like, because that's never been the consciousness, the energy of Teotihuacan. It's like not, it, like you said, it's alive. It's not old dogmas and concepts. It's like, whew, it's a consciousness that moves you wherever you're at. So I feel very excited of, yeah, to see what that will be.
Mm. Yeah, me too. Mm. I don't know.
Right.
Into the dark we go.
Into the dark we go. Mm-hmm. This has been a pleasure, as always, Paul.
Mm.
Is there anything else that you feel is alive that wants to be shared or asked or who knows what?
Yeah, there's kind of an inner fire inside all of us, to kind of like a sacred flame. We need to protect and give our attention and presence to, and nurture it, let that flame grow. And I guess I'm not going to explain what the fire is, but I'm just going to trust that people who are listening to this, you'll know. Yeah, that fire is inside of you. And keep that close. Let it grow.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast again. Mm. And then let's hope for many more conversations. And come join Paul inside Beyond the Mind. It's going to be an amazing journey. It will probably run sometime in May and June. It's 10 weeks. And you're going to get to keep having these amazing conversations with Paul live.
Thanks so much that's for a treat. Having me on, Ava. I'm really grateful to create this with you. And and really grateful for your friendship as well.
Same here, my friend. It's a real treasure. I hope that you enjoy this conversation as much as I did. And if you want more of Paul and more of me, of course, join Beyond the Mind. Get on that wait list to have a chance on one of the two giveaway spots And if you don't get those, at least the discount for Beyond the Mind, that will be open for 5 days. So get on that wait list, and I'll talk to you soon again.
Thank you for listening. And if this was helpful to you, I appreciate a review in the podcast app that you're using. Until next week.